This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is Letting God Mold Me.
And you ought to be familiar with Romans 8:28 by now. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. And we've been talking about that and what that means. But you know what I've found in life? Anytime you start to get a truth out of the Word of God to apply to your life, the devil counterattacks, tries to steal that truth away from you. And this past week or so, we've just had a number of things happen that people have had to make a choice. Am I going to say God can take this and work it together for good, or am I just going to go and feel awful about it? We have Rebecca here this morning, praise God. She fell down the steps, hit every step on her back. Now, was that nice? But what does Romans 8:28 tell us? All things work together for good, even that. God can take that and turn it to good. Devin broke his leg this week. Now, is that good? But guess what? What the devil meant for evil, God can turn to good. I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know what God has in mind, but what God has promised is that He will take those things that the devil throws our way in order to defeat us and somehow turn it to good. Understand, we as Christians are not immune from having to go through things in life. We will have to deal with hard times in life. There is no way around it. God Himself has told us that is the case. And yet He has also given us Romans 8:37. Whatever we're going through, whatever the situation is, whatever circumstances we have to face, whatever challenges we have that come at us in life, He gives us this promise. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's God's promise. We will go through difficult circumstances in life, but when we go through them, it is God's purpose and God's plan that we will come out victorious overcomers, not defeated. What will make the difference is the attitude with which you face your circumstances. Your attitude in difficult circumstances will determine whether you are a victim or an overcomer. Go over to Joshua chapter 1. Look at verse 7. In Joshua chapter 1, God is speaking with Joshua at the time that he is taking over leadership of the children of Israel after the death of Moses and assuring him that God is going to fulfill all the promises that he made to Moses to give the people the land. But in order for that promise to be carried out, look at what God says to Joshua. Verse 7 of Joshua 1. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now look at what God is telling Joshua. Joshua, in order for you to receive the promise, first of all, you got to deal with your attitude. You've got to be strong and you've got to be courageous. You've got a challenge before you. There's a fight to be fought. God had already given them the land. It was theirs. He had promised it to them. But they still had to go in and fight some battles. And God said, in order to do that, your attitude has to be an attitude that says, in my God, I am strong, I am courageous, I know I will not be defeated, therefore I can step out in confidence and do what God has called me to do. And then He says, you need to be strong and courageous so that you can observe to do all that God had commanded. You see, attitude always leads to action. Amen? Whatever your mental attitude is about your circumstances, that attitude will determine the action that you take. And that action that you take will determine whether you are a victim or an overcomer. Well, what about that attitude? Your attitude will be determined by what you believe about God when you are in the midst of difficult circumstances. Think about it. If you know that God is not only with you, but is at work for you in your difficult circumstances, then you can have confidence and peace and joy and courage right in the midst of the worst circumstances this world can throw at you. Whether you break a leg, whether you lose a job, whatever the situation that you go through, if you know that not only is God with you, but He is at work for you, you can handle it in Him. Look at Romans 8:28 again. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. You know what that verse is telling us? God filters everything that comes into our lives. He will not allow anything to come into our life that He cannot work for our good. That's God's promise. Amen? That's the confidence we can have. Whatever circumstance we're having to deal with in life, we can know that God only allowed it to happen in our life because He knew He would take it and make something good for us come out of it. You see, that's the attitude with which we need to face every difficulty that we deal with in life. If this thing is something that God has allowed to happen in my life, it's because God already has a plan to take what the devil means for evil and turn it to good. The devil means you no good. Amen. The devil will do anything he can to kill, steal, and destroy in your life. But how many of you know that the devil is already a defeated enemy? He has no power over your life. And God says everything he tries to destroy you, he will take and turn it ultimately to your good. That's the confidence that we can have. Now, having said what I just said, I want to make sure we understand something. Recognizing that God has promised to take any situation that He allows in our life and turn it to our good does not mean that we are to passively accept situations that the devil throws in our life. Just because something happens doesn't mean we're to say, okay, that must be God, and we just sit there and we accept it. Go over to James chapter 5. Look at verses 14 through 16. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now look at what's going on here. God has made a promise, hasn't he? He says, I'm your healer. I am your healer. When God heals you, who gets glory? God does. And so what does God say we are to do when we get a sickness, or in the case we've been talking about, you break a leg or whatever it is? Are we just supposed to lie back and say, well, I guess God is at work. He's going to bring good out of it, and I just have to accept it. No, what did he say? You take yourself to the elders of the church. You get yourself anointed. You get the prayer of faith prayed. And God says, then I will raise you up. See, he doesn't say be passive. He doesn't say sit back and accept it. What does he say? You do something about it. He has given us spiritual weapons to deal with the circumstances that come into our lives. And we are never supposed to just sit back and say, okay, I'm just going to let what happens happen. No, we come before the Lord. We find out what God is doing. We pray the prayer of faith, stand on his word, confess the truth of his word, and then see God work. And that's how God so many times will bring good out of what the devil meant for evil. Most of you know I'm from Tennessee. The Tennessee Titans defeated the New York Giants in overtime. Now let me tell you how it happened. Tennessee was behind by 8 points. And with just seconds left on the clock, they got down and got themselves a touchdown. And now they were 2 points behind. And so my man, Steve McNair, brings the team up to the line of scrimmage. He has called the play in the huddle. But then when he gets up to the line of scrimmage, he looks out and he sees the defensive alignment of the New York Giants, and he realizes that he is in trouble because they have aligned themselves in such a way that the play he has called will not work the way it's supposed to. In other words, he has a difficult circumstance on his hand. But did he despair? Did he say, oh, why did this happen to me? I had the perfect play all planned, and now they've messed it up. Is that what he did? No, that's not what he did. He coolly looked out over the defense. He realized that the way they were set up, the play he had called would not work, and therefore he called an audible. Changed the play at the line of scrimmage, snapped the ball, took the ball in his hands, and strolled untouched straight into the end zone to tie the game, which they won in overtime. Amen? Amen? Now what happened? Because of his response to his circumstance, he took what the enemy meant for evil. Amen? How many of you know the New York Giants are the enemy? Amen? Took what the enemy meant for evil and turned it into good, because he did not despair, but he used the weapons that he had in order to win the victory. Well, guess what the Word of God tells us? We have weapons, amen? We have weapons that are not carnal weapons, but they are strong in God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so when we face that difficult, challenging circumstance, we don't despair. We don't look and say, woe is me, I just got to sit back and see what happens. No, we take the weapons that we've been given. Prayer, the Word of God, confessing the truth of the word, and we attack the line of scrimmage. Hallelujah. And guess what? Devil can't lay a hand on you. Hallelujah. Devil cannot lay a hand on you. Look at Romans 8:37 again. Yet in all these things, what are we? More than conquerors through him who loved us. Understand this. You are never a victim of your circumstances. You are never at the mercy of your circumstances. God is at work through your circumstances to make you an overcomer. But remember this. What we found in this series of messages is that God is at work in your circumstances. Amen? But he is not primarily interested in making sure that we always have comfortable circumstances in life. God has another agenda. And what we found out is that God will use your circumstances to change you before he changes your circumstances. He will use your circumstances to change you before he changes your circumstances. We found out last time that in order to really understand Romans 8:28, you have to read it in context. And the context of that verse includes verse 29. Let's read them together. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Yes. God will work out every circumstance in your life for your good. But what is his ultimate purpose in working those circumstances out? To conform you to the image of Jesus. To conform you to the image of Jesus. God allows challenging circumstances to come into our lives so that by the way we respond to those circumstances, he can shape and mold our character to begin to look like his Son. Isn't that great? How many of you know that one day you're going to look just like Jesus? Amen? Isn't that a great hope? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose for us. go over to Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter. And all we are the work of your hand. Who is he? He's the potter. And who are we? We are the clay. Amen? And we talked last time about how you form pottery. What does it take? It takes pressure. Isn't that right? You got to get that lump of clay and you got to bend it and mold it and shape it the way you want it to. And that's pressure. You got to put pressure on it. And then once you get it looking the way you want it to look, what do you got to do with it? You got to stick it in the oven. Got to turn the heat up. Amen? Any of you feel like the heat's turned up in your life? Amen? Amen? See, that's part of God's shaping and molding and finishing process for you. God chose that image of a potter and clay very deliberately because he wants us to know that as we go through the circumstances of our life, step by step by step, God is tweaking us here. He's pushing in this part and pulling out that part and taking his little shaver and shaving off a bit here and a bit there, molding us and shaping us to look like Jesus. And that's the purpose for which he allows us to go through the situations that we go through in life that we may not like. I mean, imagine yourself to be a little pot for a moment. First of all, the potter pulls on you. And then he pushes in on you. And finally, after all that, and you're probably all aching and everything, he throws you in the oven and turns up the heat. And you probably look at that and say, what has he got against me? But what's he doing? You come out of the oven and you're something beautiful. Amen? You're something beautiful. You're something that you could not even have imagined before you went through that process. Look around. Look around at everybody here. I want you to see them not as they look today. Not that they don't look good, all right? Amen. But I want you to see them the way they're going to be coming out of the oven. I want you to see them as beautiful as God sees them. Because God sees the finished product. Amen. That's what God already has in mind for each one of us. He sees the finished product that he is forming and making as he allows us to go through the ovens in our lives. The second thing that we needed to know was that God's primary purpose for our lives is Christ-likeness. Here's number three. Godly character is formed by making godly choices under pressure. Go over to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Godly character is formed by making godly choices under pressure. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or patience, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. You see, we don't benefit just by going through difficult circumstances. The whole world goes through difficult circumstances. Think back for a moment. Before you got saved, how many of you had messes in your life? Let me just see. Before you got saved, you had some kind of mess in your life. Amen. What was that? That was a bad circumstance. Amen. Made worse by the fact that you probably caused it yourself. Catch it. Everybody in this world is going to go through difficult circumstances. The difference is not the circumstance, it's how you respond to it. What's going to make you either a victim or victorious is not the nature of your circumstance. The Word of God tells us that God will not allow anything to come into our life that is anything other than what is common to man. But with that trial, with that temptation, with that circumstance, he always makes a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Amen? So nothing unique is going to happen to you. Everybody's got to go through stuff in life. The difference is, when we respond in a godly way, that's when God is able to take it and turn it to good. You know what I think is just so tragic? We got all these people out in the world going through all of this trauma and drama in their lives. And because they do not respond in a godly way, they do all that suffering for nothing. They get nothing out of it except more pain. But guess what? Hallelujah. You as a Christian, you as a believer, you can know that everything you have to go through, God has already planned it out for your good, to take you to the next level, to develop you so that you become more like Jesus. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. In order for the circumstances that I go through in life to develop godly character in me, I must practice making godly choices even when I don't feel like it. In order for the circumstances I go through in life to form godly character in me, I must practice making godly choices even when I don't feel like it. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. The key word in those verses is exercise. We talked about this last time. Exercise. What does exercise imply? Doing reps. Amen. Going over it over and over and over again. Doing the right thing over and over and over again. And it's through that situation of doing the reps that godly character is formed in us. When every day, in every decision that we have to make, when we're under pressure, we make a godly choice instead of the easy choice. What pressures are operating in your life today where you've got to decide what kind of choice you're going to make? Maybe the pressure is anger at what somebody's done to you, and you've got to make the choice of whether or not to forgive. Maybe the pressure is that somebody has said or done something that causes you, everything in you just wants to lash out at that person for what they've done to you. And you've got to make the choice to speak loving and kind and encouraging words instead of giving them what they deserve. Maybe you're under pressure by your circumstances that the devil is using to try to build fear and discouragement in you. And you've got to make the choice to walk in faith and not by sight. Maybe you're under financial pressure. You don't have everything that you want to have, and you're facing the choice, am I going to be faithful when God calls upon me to tithe into his kingdom, or am I going to go with the flow of my pressure? In our men's discipleship yesterday, we were talking about some of the pressures that our young people are under today. And the fact that a young person in our society is going to be subjected to tremendous pressure against being sexually pure. Now, you don't have to be too young for that. Amen? You can even be old for that. Amen? I ought to hear an amen on that. Don't sit up here and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. Because I know some of you have had to deal with that issue. And that's a pressure in your life, isn't it? That's a pressure that the devil pushes your way to try to get you off the track and make an ungodly decision. You see, these are all things that happen in our lives on a day-by-day basis, and we have to make the choice. Am I going to make a godly choice when the pressure is on me and it's on me hard to do something different? That's going to make the difference in whether you are a victim or victorious in your circumstances in life. It is not the big issues, quote unquote, but it's those little decisions we make on a day-by-day basis when we have to make the choice of whether or not I'm going to be godly when it's not what I feel like doing. But let me tell you what's going on when that happens to you. And this is the fourth thing that you need to understand. Our hard times are testing times. Our hard times are testing times. When you are faced with that difficult choice of what to do when the circumstances are not the way that you want them to be, whether to make a godly choice or whether to do what you feel like, you know what's happening to you? You are being tested. Go over to John, Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. How many of you know that God tests us sometimes? Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Look at this. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Do you see it? Jesus asked Philip this question, "Where are we going to get bread for all these people?" Jesus wasn't really looking for Philip to give him information. He already knew what he was going to do. Why did he ask the question? To test Philip. To see what Philip was going to do. Let's take a look at another example, even more important. Go over to Genesis chapter 22. Look at verses 1 and 2. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." What did God do to Abraham? Did he want him to actually sacrifice his son? That wasn't God's purpose. But what was the purpose? He was testing Abraham. He was testing him to see what he would do. He was testing him to see if he would be willing to yield up his son the way God was going to yield up his son. Amen? And once he knew that Abraham could be trusted in difficult circumstances, you know what he did? He made a great nation out of Abraham. There's a prayer that I pray. And I'll tell you right up front, it's a dangerous prayer to pray. But I pray this many times in my life. It goes like this. God, I give you permission to do in my life whatever you need to do to make me more like Jesus. I give you permission to do in my life whatever you need to do to make me more like Jesus. It's a dangerous prayer, isn't it? But guess what? If you want to become like him, it's the prayer you need to pray. You need to be willing for God to do anything he needs to do in the circumstances of your life to bring you to the place where you're willing to make godly decisions. Because godly decisions made over and over under pressure will build godly character and make you like Jesus.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.